with you a couple of announcements. Remember me, this Wednesday, I'm supposed to have a colonoscopy. They took out about 10 years ago a couple of polyps, and my family doctor urges us to do it again because it's been a long time. And so that's going on Wednesday. According to my wife, the hospital toddy is worse than the process. That stuff that you have to drink the night before and so forth. So keep me in your prayers. Sister Donna, good to see you here today. She has had the flu for about a month. And if you've been trying to reach her on her telephone, it's because she's watching TV and you have to wait till she gets through. No, she has a new phone number, and you've been trying to call her and haven't been able to reach her. Let me give you a phone number, 778-7473. 778-7473. So if you're calling out on the prayer chain or something like that, that's, I'm sorry? Yes. Yeah, 419-778-7473. That's a number you would call to get her to send out a prayer chain call for you, okay? Also, we need to remember Brian Selby in our prayers. Brian is convinced he has prostate cancer now. It is something that has been in the family. His father and grandfather, as I understand it, all had this same problem. So pray for Brian. Jerry is home and is doing well after having back surgery, and we're praising God for that. Let me see. Kim, he's already said, has the flu. She called me yesterday and said she was aching all over and coughing and so forth, so keep her in your prayers. Sister Delia, praise God, is better. We were talking about the last time we were praying together Wednesday night for her that everyone was giving up, thinking she was near the end. But like she has done two or three times before, she has rallied and is better. She's still very weak, but when we visited with her, the longer she talked, the better she got the feeling and so forth. Just keep her in prayer, okay? As far as I know, Sister Norma, she's the oldest church member we had until just a few weeks ago when the Wessels joined, all right? So we need to keep praying for her in your prayers. Let me see. Sister Gladys, turns out that she is allergic to the medicines they've had her on. And so now they're having to take a different approach. They're putting in one of those ports tomorrow, and she's going to have to be going back and forth to the hospital each day for 7 days, I believe, or a week anyway. And the medicine is going to be administered directly into the bloodstream through a shoulder port. So please remember Sister Gladys in your prayers. Well, remember Brother Willard, too. He's transportation. Okay, I keep him in your prayers. So far as I know, that's all of our... Yes, ma'am, Mom? All right. Stacy is having on November the 11th. Thank you, Mom. Well, that also reminds me we need to keep praying for Sister Jerry because she's hoping very soon to be having neck surgery herself. Remember, she's had pain both in the neck and in the lower back. And if you had seen the hardware they took out of her lower back, you would know why she had the pain. I mean, it's like you went down to the hardware store and got those great big number 10 screws. I mean, it was horrible, the stuff they took out. And this new doctor said it was only about half of that was needed and way smaller screws than they had used on her. And so Praise the Lord, she's healing beautifully well in her spine. She was praising God. She could tiptoe the other day. She said she hadn't been able to tiptoe for years because it would cause unusual pain. But she's walking and longer and longer now. She's in her apartment walking around and around, just staying in practice. But she's going to have neck surgery as well. So remember, both of these ladies, they're not cutting your throat, are they? We was teasing Jerry that they're going in the front and the back. So we was teasing her that they're cutting her throat to fix her back. Keep these ladies in your prayers, all right? Turn with me in the scriptures, if you will. We're going to be looking for 3 weeks at least from this same passage of scripture. We're looking at Matthew chapter 11. We're looking at verses 25 and following, but we're going to be focusing on verses 28 through 30, all right? At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for as it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the ones to whom the Son will reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Pray with me, please. Holy Father, grant us understanding that we may be comforted in our heart and strengthened in our faith as these times we live in grow worse and worse until you come. Help us, Holy Father, to be brave in spirit and strong in faith so that we make a mighty witness for you in spite of the circumstances in which we live. For it's in Christ Jesus that we pray. And amen. Amen. I have been focusing on this verse. Fact is, I remembered it and started quoting it to myself several days just because it kept coming up in my mind. Before I begin to realize God was focusing me to preach from the text, but maybe you have spoken of it as well. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Have you ever read over a passage of scripture and didn't really pay attention, so that maybe two or three times after that you read it again and you saw something that you had not seen before? My wife and I this week in our daily devotions were now in the New Testament, and it's surprising the things that we are recognizing that we didn't realize was there before. For example, did you know that Barabbas was chained in prison to his cohorts who were arrested with him because they had committed murder and was in rebellion? I mean, I don't know how many times I've read that story in the New Testament, but never recognized that they were chained together, according to Scripture, in prison. Barabbas, the one that was released in the place of Jesus when he was crucified. There are several different things that I'll not go through right now, but it's little tidbits of information that you may notice sometimes, and you've read over that passage and you wonder, why didn't I see that before? It's kind of been a sport this week as we're now looking for things that we've not seen before to share with others when we have our devotion time together. I feel that we have done that with this passage of Scripture. I mean, we like the part where it says, I will give you rest. come unto me, he says, ye that are weary and heavy laden, is the way the King James said. By the way, I'm using the New King James. I've given these young men that were baptized just recently a New King James, and so I decided I'll begin to read from the New King James myself. I prefer that translation to the the regular King James. Only my problem is all the scriptures I memorized have been out of the King James, so I'm having to go back and forth. But I prefer the New King James. It cleans up the language a bit for modern readers. But I'm looking at that passage beginning at verse 28, where he begins with, come to me. We say, all your labor and heavy laden, we plug in at that point. And we want the rest that God has promised us without realizing how he tells us to get it. And so where I'm going this morning is with the concept that he gives us in the beginning, and next Sunday we're going to talk about putting his yoke upon us, all right? So you know where I'm going, as there are at least three messages in these verses. But today I'm focusing on coming to me, where he says, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Therefore, I want you to look with me at what it means just to come to Christ, or to take seriously when he tells us to come to Christ. Because many times we mean, well, that means pray a little bit, and so we'll pray quickly and go on about our business. Or sometimes, do you recognize the difference? Sometimes we'll say a prayer. Have you thought about it? I mean, many times we've heard a person pray enough times that we can almost quote their prayer. But when it gets to that place, 9 chances out of 10, it's no longer a prayer. It's just something they say each time. Now, that's not always true, but many times it is. We've gotten to the habit, and I've used my own illustration, you know, because we'd be at breakfast, and I would have the blessing, and we would start eating, and after a moment, I would stop and think, did I have the blessing? I'd ask my wife, did we have the blessing before we started? She said, you prayed. Well, I didn't really. I said my prayer. You follow what I'm saying? And there's a difference in just saying something that we always say in prayer than in actually consciously talking with the Lord God. And so that's kind of what I'm asking us to look at the verse again for, because I think we've read over without really paying attention to what we want the rest. We like that promise. And we like to believe, because we're children of God, when we have our difficulties, when we have our troubled times, when we have the pressures and the persecutions or these kinds of things that happen that have no explanation so far as we're concerned, we want God to come quickly with the rest, to give us peace, to take away the pain and the hurt and the frustration. We want the peace without really paying attention to how we get it. And so the first message is in that phrase, come to me. Many times we want to say our prayers real quickly and get on about our business, or many times we turn a prayer time into just a time for complaint. You remember the model prayer? When Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, when did they begin to deal with their own personal needs in his example prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then give us this day our daily bread. We want to start out with, Lord, give me the stuff that's on my list, all right? We don't really stop and worship Him. We don't really stop and think about who He is, because if we're going to pray in faith, if we're going to really understand who He is and remember what He's doing in our life so that we give Him praise and gratitude, we're going to have to start focusing on Him and then start talking about the things we need. Otherwise, we've turned Him into a Santa Claus or a Goodwill store or whatever, where we go and get the stuff we need and hurry on about our business. He's saying, if we're going to have victory, if we're going to have rest, if we're going to experience the goodness of God again in our life so that our life is overflowing with praise, we've got to first come to Him. Now, I really believe He said this to the general public, not just to us as believers, because I can show you in Scripture where He said essentially that for the unsaved people, and so the point of their coming to Him is that they might experience salvation and thus forgiveness and cleansing. You remember what 1 John 1:9 says? If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So to the unsaved world, He's saying, come to Me for salvation. But to the believers, He's saying, come to Me for sanctification. Come to Me to become a mature Christian. Come to Me to find answers. Come to Me for a fellowship that is strengthening and encouraging. Come to Me is the beginning of your victory that will bring you rest. When I think of it, I think sometimes the church, how shall I say it? The church is playing it safe. Some of you work in plants where there's signs all around that says safety first, that kind of thing. Sometimes I think the church has adopted that sign, safety first. So rather than really trusting Christ, that is, rather than coming to Him and abandoning ourselves onto His will and purpose, we have come with restrictions in our mind. We're playing it safe. Well, I'd like to do the will of the Lord, but I don't know what He wants me to do yet. Have you ever been there? Most of you need shaking hands like that. We've had those times when we've been afraid to really come to Jesus and talk to Him openly and totally abandon our own will and trust Him and His will because we're afraid of what He might ask us to do. I had a experience I think I've shared with you in Jackson, Kentucky many years ago in the mountains of eastern Kentucky. The pastor, I was the mission pastor of that church, and the pastor of the church and I become real good friends, and we would meet for coffee every Monday and just share yesterday and pray together one with another, and I noticed he was struggling week after week. The joy was gone. It was like he was carrying a heavy burden. And so one time I just asked him, I said, I've been watching you and I feel like you're carrying something that you're afraid to talk about. And he started crying. He says, for years, I've been afraid that God was calling me to go to Africa. And he says, you have to understand, I was raised in a very prejudiced home. Not only am I struggling, but he says, I would almost lose the support of my family if I went to such a place to preach the gospel. But while he was talking and through the tears, he began to say, but I can't fight it anymore. I cannot continue like this. And so we started praying together. And he honestly admitted his prejudice and he honestly asked God to make him able to be obedient, to go to Africa and preach if that's what God wanted him to do. It's funny now. It wasn't then. We discovered God wasn't calling him to Africa. God wanted him to be able to do what God asked him to do without raising questions. You remember when I come back from Nashville, the thing that I shared with you that those pastors was urging us? One of the primary things in being an evangelistic church is to be immediately obedient to the Holy Spirit. Don't try to figure it out. Just say yes and do what he tells us to do. Don't ask yourself, is it reasonable? Don't even argue the point. Just simply say yes and do what the Holy Spirit calls you to do. We want to play it safe. Lord, I'd like to do what you're asking for, but you didn't clear it with me yet. Well, who's boss in this thing? I mean, when your boss at work tells you, do you stand there and argue with him? Or even grumble in his presence? Or do you do what you're supposed to do? Because your job is at stake. You follow me? But when we're talking to the Lord, we're not immediately responding. We're not saying, yes, Lord, whatever you want, just rush off and do it. The apostles struggle with that. I don't know, the Bible don't tell us all of the details, but I know that they did. Can you imagine what it was like for Peter when Jesus told him in this discussion about taxes, go down there and throw a line in the water and catch a fish, and when you pull it up, the very first fish, take a coin out of his mouth and go pay our taxes, yours and mine. The Bible tells us Peter went. But I can almost tell you what was going through his mind. Now, Jesus, I'm the fisherman. I mean, you're the Lord, but I'm the fisherman. I'm the one that spent years and years. I've never found a coin in a fish's mouth. Well, the Bible don't tell. I'm just being human. I'm sure that would have been through some of our mind, you know. Or, like the one you've been reading about this week in your daily devotions, if you're reading through the Bible. He tells two of his disciples, you go into town. And you're going to see a colt, a donkey's colt, tied in front of a house on the street. You go untie that donkey and bring it. And if somebody asks you, why are you doing that? Tell them the Lord needs it. Now, the Bible doesn't say anything about their complaints or what went through their mind. They simply went down there and found it as though as Jesus said it would be. And so they untied the donkey, and sure enough, the men asked, what are you doing? And they said, the Lord has need. And the man sent them on. But I can almost imagine what the conversation was like between these two men as they went down into the village and started looking for that donkey tied to the front of a house. Can you imagine the likelihood of somebody tying a donkey on the street to the front of the house? I mean, where does most people keep their donkeys? Well, I don't know. I'm just guessing, okay, what the conversation must have been. But if somebody sent you like that, wouldn't you raise the question? Even that the man would give permission, okay? Now, Don just bought a new car, so if you see me after church coming out there and getting in his car and he shows up, I'm going to say, the Lord needs it. What I'm saying to you is, we shouldn't be so harsh on them because we too play it safe. If Christ says, come to me, then drop everything and come to him. That's the point I'm trying to make. We need to respond immediately. When the Holy Spirit begins to say something to us, don't rationalize it. Don't figure it out. Don't try to think, does it make sense to you? It probably don't if he's leading you to do it because he wants you trusting him. Just get up and do what the Lord tells you to do. So if you're weary, if you're heavy laden, burdened down, is the way that we even more say it today. If you're frustrated, if you feel under pressure, or how do we say it, if you're stressed out, okay? If any of those kinds of things are you're carrying as burdens and they've got you kind of bound up in knots and you don't know what to do and it's almost become overwhelming, Jesus promised, I'll give you rest. But how do we get his rest? He says, by coming to me. I mean, we need to realize not only is he our Savior, but does not the Scripture say he is our life? So we're going to draw strength and life from him. I'm being foolish at this point, but I remember when the blood bank in the mountains of eastern Kentucky was some of us. I was a part of the blood bank. And when they needed my blood type, I'd get a call because I'd already been typed and processed. I'd get a call and I'd have to show up at the hospital and I'd be laying on one bed and the patient would be on the other bed and be taking blood out of my arm, transferring it over into their arm. I mean, that was the blood bank back then. I want you to understand Jesus is our blood bank, if you will. And from a spiritual point of view, we're drawing life from him. We're drawing strength from him. And if everybody is going to have all of these burdens to carry into his presence, he's going to carry the burden and carry us. You know the poem, Footprints in the Sand. And we'll raise the question about, here he is walking with us, but then there comes to a place when we look it back, there was a place there where there was only one set of footprints. And the poem raises the question, why did Christ quit walking with us? And find out, according to the poem, he hadn't stopped walking with us. That's where he was carrying us. Isaiah's prophecy deals with it from that same point of view. He says, unto your hoary hairs I will carry you. I quoted the King James on purpose. Unto your gray hairs, or literally, unto the hairs of old age. He says, I will carry you. I'm saying that we need to remember he wants to carry us through these difficult times. He wants to be our strength. He wants to be our encouragement. He wants us to draw into fellowship with him and allow him to give us comfort and rest. How many times a crying baby you could pick up and hug up to yourself and they'd quit crying? Have you been there? I mean, they tell me that the baby's gotten so used to mama's heartbeat all these 9 months that she's been carrying them in the womb, when she hugs a baby up to her where they can hear the heartbeat again. They're comforted. I can remember when our kids were small. Fact is, I can remember the struggle I had when they got bigger. Because they like to get up in your lap and let you put your arms around them, okay? And then they got big enough that sitting on the lap was difficult and getting your arms around them was strange. I want you to understand, he's wanting us to come, as it were, and get up in his lap. And let him put his arms around us. Or you visualize it however you want to sense the intimacy of his care for you. Because he says your answer is in coming to me. He's talking about worshiping the one true God. And many times we claim to worship the one true God when in reality we're worshiping the God we have created in our own mind. Have you ever heard, oh, God wouldn't do that? Have you heard that? Almost always it's about something that somebody that doesn't really understand or remember what the Bible says, and so they formed in their own mind how God will or will not do things, and so they've dismissed the God of Scripture, and they're believing in a God they've created in their own mind. Or some are believing the God of the popular world. Stop and think now as you listen to the culture what our God is supposed to believe. How does the Bible predict this day? Good will be evil. Evil will be considered good. You follow me? That's where we are in our culture right now. I mean, the Bible tells us ahead of time that it's going to happen, and right now our culture is even requiring that we change the reading of Scripture to say that the Bible, things the Bible condemns, ought to be okay. Well, let me go one step farther. Not only is it contrary to the Scripture, but just because it's legal doesn't make it right. You follow me? I mean, sometimes we're worshiping a fictitious God and not the real God of Scripture. The real God of Scripture, I want you to know, He loves you. And He's saying, in the midst of your stress, come to me. When the burdens got almost unbearable, come to me. When you're afraid or frustrated, come to me, he says. Because he is our God. He is our loving God. And he does want to give us rest. But there's a part of our culture, and probably some of you have wrestled with this too. It's a trick. God calls you in, you're in trouble. I remember, I've been there. My first day on campus in college, I was handed a note. A certain time that afternoon, I was to appear in the president's office. My high school principal was a strict disciplinarian. I knew what it meant to be sent to the principal's office. You follow me? I was in trouble. I mean, I hadn't gotten unpacked. I was just now on campus. I was invited to the president's office. I went in scared to death. That plush carpet on the floor felt like I sunk down. I mean, I was in a strange world. I didn't know what to expect. Dr. Edelman had my application in his hand. Garland, what are your job skills? I began to explain to him what I had done and what my training and skills were in the job market, and he said, just a moment, and he started dialing somebody on the phone. I had put on my application that I had to work through school. I didn't have the money. Had the money for the first semester to get me started, but I needed to get a job. And I sat there, first day I was on grounds, listened to the president of the school find me a job by calling people he knew that were employers in our area. And before I'd unpacked my bags to go into my room, I had a job. But I've never gotten that kind of thing out of my mind. And if I'm suddenly called into somebody's office, I immediately assume I'm in trouble with somebody. You follow? And we approach God that way. I got good news for you. God's not looking for an opportunity to whoop up on you. God's not looking for an opportunity to poke you in the face and jump on you and condemn you for the things you've done wrong. He's a loving God, and He wants to forgive. The Old Testament prophesies He enjoys forgiving. So don't feel that you shouldn't appear before God, because Satan's going to lie to you. He's going to whisper in your ear. Better be afraid to go in the presence of a holy God. You've not been Christian very long. I mean, you've not been good enough for God to forgive you. I mean, after all the things you've done, God's going to let you have it. God's going to really jump on you. I mean, you processed those things. You've had those doubts. You weren't willing to admit Satan was doing it, perhaps, or hadn't even thought about it, but you've had those doubts. Can I go into the presence of Holy God after some of the things I've done? And I promise you, all the bad stuff you've ever done is going to come to mind, because Satan's going to bring it up. Because he don't want you to approach Holy God in faith and confidence in His love. But I want you to know He does forgive. He delights in forgiving sin. He wants to change our life. He wants to give us victory over all of those things that burden us down. So if we are the weary and heavy laden, the answer is, Jesus said, come to me. Bring it to me. Now, we've grown up in the opposite, most of us, because our relationship with our parents have been different most of the time, especially in fixing things. Most of you fathers remember when your children were little. Daddy can fix anything. Till they get a little bigger. But they really think Daddy can fix anything. You follow me? Or how many of your mothers, when a little child comes in and they've got a boo-boo, a thorn or a cut, and mamas, how many of you said, you want me to kiss it? Huh? That's never made sense to me. I mean, it's dirty. Why do you want me to kiss it? go wash and come back. I don't know. But what was the confidence we had with our parents when they'd stick their finger up there and mom would kiss it, and weird as it seems, it quit hurting immediately. Are you listening to me? God is a father. We're His children. He's our Heavenly Father. And He says, if it's got you burdened down, if it's got you frustrated, if it's worn you out, if you don't have the energy to go on another day, what do I do, Father? Come to me. Come to me. So let's quit carrying the burden. Isaiah's prophecy again. He talks about a time when we'll be bringing our troubles to the Lord. I'm paraphrasing now. But he says afterwards, we leave pulling our sins by a cart rope. What does he mean? Well, we tried to bring everything to the Lord, but we brought our little red wagon with us, and we was pulling it with a rope. So when we got done putting our sins on the altar, now I told you I'm paraphrasing, okay? What we did was pick them back up and put them back in a little wagon, and we left taking our sins with us. Now, does that picture help you to realize some of our struggle? When it's gotten heavy, when we begin to be frustrated by our circumstances and the burdens we're carrying, he says, come to me. And what he's wanting is for you to put those sins on him. Put those burdens on him. And trust him to give you rest. I mean, don't be afraid anymore. Simply take it to Jesus. Don't be frustrated anymore. Simply take it to Jesus. Don't be afraid that you're not going to be accepted by him. He loves you. Like Mama, I'm not sure he may kiss it. But he's going to treat you just like your Mama did. He's going to say, I'll make it all right if you'll just let me. Are you catching the spirit of what this passage is really all about? When it gets too heavy for you to carry, you've got to first realize I'm doing the wrong thing anyway. I'm trying to carry it myself. And how long does it take you to realize you can't fix it? Jesus says, bring it to me. Come to me. You who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. So let me give you the invitation in this way. This may be the day when you need to bring one of your burdens here to the altar. Kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, I can't carry this anymore. It's yours. Carry it for me. Do you know what the Lord did to start this message in my mind? I was reading about Simon the Tanner from Cyrene, who was compelled to carry Jesus' cross. That's one of the things that we talked about that we'd not read before. I knew he was Cyrene. I had never read before that he was Simon the Tanner. And it was strange to me because I've seen Simon the Tanner appear several different times in the Scripture, and I'm wondering if the house that he went into on a later occasion was the same Simon the Tanner. The Tanner, I mean. But the picture is real. Jesus is saying, you can't carry it by yourself. Bring it to me. You don't have the strength to fix it. Bring it to me. It's too much for you to carry. It's heavy. It's weighing you down. And now you can't even function. Bring it to me. And I'll give you rest. Is the promise of Scripture. Amen. Brother Don is going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation, and I'm inviting you, whoever, wherever, it doesn't matter. If you're carrying a burden and it's getting to you, if you're carrying some kind of fear or frustration or perhaps even anger or something of that nature, and it's weighing you down, the Bible's answer is, bring it to Jesus. Let him carry it for you. And he'll give you rest. What number are we singing, Brother?